God is counting on you and me to see that his work gets done. It's not just the preachers. It's not just the elders. It's us. The book of Acts, and doing the who, what, so what if approach to looking at this story of the beginning of the church. And when I was putting this together, I got to thinking about the fact that probably many of us in here have studied Acts multiple times. And sometimes when you study something, whether it's a particular book in the Bible or about a character or some event, you might get to the point where, yeah, I know that. I've already looked at that, or I've been over that several times. And I like to have us try to come back and look with some fresh eyes at a story or an event or people that we know about. And so that was one of the purposes of putting this study together. The who is really easy, and we'll look at the scriptures today. The what is pretty easy. We know about that because we've been through this before. But then I wanted us to take it to another level. So what? These people were involved. These things happen. So what? And some people who are not Christians or do not seek to be and don't know the Bible would say, it's a big deal. So what? I think we need to give them an answer. And I'd like to challenge you and I with the idea, what if these people chose not to do this? What if these events didn't happen back then on which we could build our faith today? So that's kind of the basis of the who, what, so what, and what if. And I hope as we move through the 12 chapters of Acts and as you study from week to week, I want you to think about that. And I hope you can come up with the last two and share, so what, and the what if, because the first part's pretty easy, not too tough on us to know who and what, but that's kind of a, in a nutshell, what I'm hoping we can accomplish as we move through this study. So I challenge you to try to think in those terms and bring your thoughts and your insights as you go back and revisit, so we can grow from what we're trying to do here. I'd like to go ahead today, and by the way, those of you who are out there, and you know who you are, wherever you are, thank you for being with us, and our hope is, at some point, you can go from out there to in here. We've got spots, we got seats for you, we can accommodate you, and really, in spite of the teacher, there are some really nice people here that if you come and interact, you might find that there's some really neat people that you would enjoy being around. And so I challenge you to come our way when you can and be a part of us in this room. Let me read this, and if you'll get your Bible and follow along, I'd like to have us look at the scriptures. It's a long passage, but I think it's good for us to look at it again. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hear them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongue. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, they've had too much wine. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 a.m. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God, God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices, and my body also will live in hope, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here in this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. A really powerful passage as we think about that moment in time and what took place then and what became the foundation of where we are today. It's an amazing passage, one that we know well, I'm sure, in many cases. Let's talk about who's involved here. My man is with me today. Who can give me one individual or group that's involved? Let's kind of set the stage. Who we got?
The Holy Spirit.
What was that?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit was there, yes. What else? The 12 apostles. And remember last week they had to do a replacement. So we got them there. Who else is involved here? A bunch of people from that whole Roman Empire. We got the list of the different places and so forth. A big crowd, Jewish and those who had converted to Judaism. Who else we got here?
To them, about 3,000 souls.
Yeah, yeah. It was a big number of people. Even by today's standard, if all of a sudden we had thousands of people in this building, the preacher would probably preach a long time, but luckily we just got the usual crowd here, Neil. But it was a group of people, and these people were amazed at what thing? Okay, this. Say it again, Jerry.
They were speaking the languages of all the different people that were there.
Yeah, here were these common men who were obviously drunk.
Yeah.
No, they were not. It's only 9 in the morning. But common men, and here's these people from all the different parts of probably the Roman Empire who spoke multiple languages, and they're all hearing at the same time in their own language. At the UN, and I've never been there, I understand when the people sit in the General Assembly, and they're from all over, and they got the little thing in their ear, someone is translating what the speaker is saying, so that each person, wherever they're from, are hearing what's being presented. Well, same thing happened there, but it wasn't like it is in the UN. They were hearing God's word in their own language.
So they were filled with the Holy Spirit. That's yes. How they were hearing it.
Yes, they were. The Holy Spirit came upon them. In the early verses there that we read, suddenly it sounded like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. That miraculous moment, and Jesus had promised that, had he not? I will send a comforter. Don't worry, because I'm sending help, is another way to look at that. And the help came in a form that I'm not sure these people had imagined. But all of a sudden, there was to provide them just what they needed. There's a thing that some of you business people probably know, where they talk about delivery just in time. And I guess that's what it means. We got the thing set up, you order something out here, and the computers and the people are all working around, and it gets there just in time. Doesn't get there early, doesn't get there late, just in time. Well, God started that. He sent the Holy Spirit just in time. FedEx, it wasn't you. Pardon, if any of you are FedEx people, don't take it personally. But God set up this thing just in time, and when it came, there it was, to take the next steps that God had in mind. Now, let me just throw out a lesson, then we'll get to our man here. Do we believe, as we go through our life seeking to serve God, do we have the faith that God will provide what we need just in time? I hope we do. I hope so. And it's kind of hard, because sometimes things are looking a little bleak here. I don't know what we're going to do. I mean, we got issues. We got society, and society sometimes is not working with us, it's spiritually. And so do we believe that we'll just keep going ahead, keep trying to do the right thing, and when we come to this bridge, God will provide what we need just in time. Now that's faith. Ron.
I was just going to say that there is some debate, I guess you could say, as to whether or not the 120 received the Holy Spirit as well as the 12. But the context clearly shows to me, as you read down through that, that the apostles were doing this and the apostles were doing that. And it was because what the apostles had received. So I'm inclined to stand on the side that it was just the apostles that received that gift that day.
Okay, and Jerry wants to add to that.
Yeah, I concur with that, and the general public, let's say the 3,000, they hadn't heard the word yet, and not only that, they hadn't been baptized to receive the Holy Spirit. So it was the apostles that received the Holy Spirit, and that was a special gift so that they could speak in tongues and they could do miracles and things like that. Well, my belief is 120 didn't get the Holy Spirit, just the apostles did, because they were the ones that received the ability to speak in tongues. The 120 didn't get that.
We don't see that the 120 received that ability to speak in the various languages that were involved. And we know Jesus promised, and from our previous lessons, He promised that He would send the Comforter. He promised, stay in Jerusalem. I'm sending help, in a sense. The big day is coming that you need to get this thing started that we've talked about, that I've prophesied to you about, that's coming. And you stay here, and the power will come. You will know what to do. And I personally don't think that the apostles got all that. They were just, ladies, they were just guys. And Jesus is telling them what's going to happen. I'm going to send you help. It's going to, in a sense, change the world. And so their faith caused them to do what he asked them to do, to stay there together. Ray's got a comment.
I got a question. When Peter got up and spoke, now you have all these different languages out right in the audience. When Peter got up and spoke, it was just Peter speaking. Yet everybody heard that message.
Yes.
Now, I think this is the act of the Holy Spirit upon the people that were there, that they could understand Peter in their language as he was speaking,
yeah,
which is a miracle at that time, I would say. Now, I don't know if you agree with me or not, but that was my take on this.
Well, again, back to that weak model of the United Nations. Here's all these people, and they are hearing what the individual is saying in their own language so they can comprehend what's being discussed. The process itself, God said, all these people here, we're going to have the first gospel sermon, I guess we could say that, and it's going to be presented to all these people. And they're going to hear it, and they're going to respond, and this is the beginning of my church. That's the big picture. A preacher that doesn't speak in tongues, I hope.
Not today, but you need to go back to Acts chapter 1 to understand the Holy Spirit.
All right.
Jesus said that he was going to pour out his spirit on those men at that time. They were going to be immersed. It doesn't say anything at all about the crowds.
Right.
They did not receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit as talked about in Acts chapter 1. They just heard in their own language, which was miraculous sign of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit came down on those that were in the room, and it was on them like tongues of fire. So to say that the people that heard had the Holy Spirit, that would be incorrect according to the passage that we have
right
here.
And we have to put one and two together.
Amen.
We artificially break things out so much per week because we are time constrained. And hopefully we can continue to see how this fits all together. That's the point of it. And you're right. It talked about them receiving this from God so that his purpose will go forward. Let me just digress. Do you feel like God wants to use you for his purpose? Have you thought about that lately?
Yeah.
Little old me, little old you, don't have much to work with here, but God uses people and your people. So I'm elevating you this morning. You are people. God wants to use you.
Yeah.
And if I were God, and I'm not, I'd say, I don't know. I got these people, but I don't know if we're going to get the job done. But he is counting on you and you over there, you I see you back there. He's counting on you, Carl. No pressure. Carl's my friend back there. But that is an amazing thought to get in our brain. As feeble as we might be, as limited as we are, God is counting on you and me to see that his work gets done. It's not just the preachers. It's not just the elders. It's us. And he's promised to help us. Another comment from Jerry.
Well, the people said, "What aren't these men Galileans? Why are they speaking all these languages?" So it wasn't just Peter speaking all the languages for all these right. people. The apostles were speaking the language of all of these different people. So they all got the word because of the apostles.
That's right. And I've heard people say that they must have had a great PA system that day. Well, we know they didn't have a PA system like we're thinking of, but all the apostles were given this power, this ability. And I've heard one description was, yeah, Peter spoke, but if you're way in the back and there's thousands of you, you're probably not going to hear everything he's saying. And so the thought was, each of the apostles were sharing the good news so that that would go forth and the people could respond to the good news and the church could begin on that very day. You know, people have said, boy, if I'd like to go back in history. I'd like to go back when George Washington crossed the Delaware and he was standing in the front of the boat. You've seen the picture. Well, if our founding president was standing in the front of the boat, it's a wonder we got started. You people that know about boats, you don't stand up in the front, right, and have them rowing across there. I think that's, well, anyway, that's a license that artist took. But some people would like to go back to a certain point in time and experience what was going on. Wouldn't this be a great time to go back? Be in that crowd. Get the power that God was giving to the apostles. Get that message firsthand. And having that moment where you really saw, why did Jesus come? For this very purpose, that anyone who would believe and be willing to give up their life could be saved. And the prophecy there was tying it together, wasn't it? He quotes David, and he quotes Joel, and there's others he could have quoted, right? But he chose those two to let them know, this isn't just happening today. This isn't, oh, God said, well, I guess I need to take care of this now. No, God had a plan. Does anybody remember, and this is not on the list here, but the first time that God talked about his battle with Satan and that Satan was going to lose? Now, this goes way back. In the garden, remember? He said Jesus would bruise the head of the snake that crushed the head, bruise it really badly, like that. And that was the beginning of him letting people know. Yeah, Satan's got power. Satan is going to tempt you. Satan's going to do things that's going to get you off track. But, that conjunction with a comma, but I'm sending help. I got this under control. Things are going to be all right. We need that sometimes. Don't you need that? Think about God said it's going to be all right. I know a lady right now who's going through some troubling times. Her brother is very ill, may not live very long. And I talked to her this week. And those are moments where you really wonder, what are we going to do? I mean, it looks hopeless. I don't know what I'm going to do. But we know what God's going to do. He's going to be there for us. No matter how it turns out, God is going to be there. And if we have that confidence through Jesus, then whatever happens, it's going to be okay. When you had little children, they'd get all upset and something went wrong, wouldn't you kind of give them a little hug and say, it's going to be okay? That was not in the manual they gave us, but I figured it out. Yes, sir.
I like to think that the message that they were speaking, since they were simple men, that it was a simple message of the glory of Christ and what he had done and what his intentions were for them. And that the Spirit didn't make it complicated either. He set that on those men's hearts where, look at the response that they got. Mm-hmm. And that same simple message spread like wildfire throughout the kingdom when it did. They went to their homes and relayed that message. It wasn't something like, oh yeah, I forgot how that worked. Yeah. So it obviously was one that everybody could understand and take to heart. They were willing.
Yeah.
It's not forced on them.
No. But you get the choice. And you're right. If we study God's word, now some of it it's hard to understand, especially getting the Old Testament, and some of that really is tricky. Oh yeah, the death, burial, and resurrection. Death, burial, and resurrection, and here's what you can get from it. We can tend to complicate things, and I think if we look at, I'll say, religion in its broadest sense, and I don't know every religious belief in the world, but I know some, and it seems like at times man has taken the gospel, the good news, death, burial, and resurrection, and so forth and so on, and complicated it in various ways. You have to do certain things, and so forth and so on. It gets real complicated. But if we look at this, it's pretty straightforward. Even a guy can understand it. And thank you, God, that you realized what we creatures were like. And your plan, along with your Son and your Holy Spirit, is such that we can understand it and we can respond to it. Now, are we going to be faithful every step of the way? Yeah, we got bumps in the road. But as far as what it was, it's not complicated. Let's move on to the part there, fellowship of believers. It talks in there about how thousands were responding, and they were there, and they were from various places. And if you've ever traveled and stayed in a motel or with somebody or somebody for an extended period of time, you're not prepared to stay a long time. You know, did you bring all your groceries with you? Well, we just go out to the store and get it. But if you think back to where these people were, they didn't have Publix to go down and replenish the pantry and so forth and so on. And so we see an example for you and me that God wants us to have the politically correct would say a peopleship. But we'll stick with this fellowship, meaning we are joining together to benefit one another. And we see that so dramatically here. And in particular, they were doing the physical needs, were they not? But notice they were doing the spiritual needs. What were they doing to spiritually strengthen one another? What does it say?
They were meeting in each other's homes.
All right. They didn't have a church building like this that's so commodious. Have you ever heard that term used? We have this commodious building. I won't go into that, but I don't know where that came from, but we do have a very nice building in which to gather. But they didn't, so they were meeting in their homes. What else were they doing to help one another? They were praising God, worshiping together, encouraging one another. Do you get encouraged by your brothers and sisters? I hope so. I think the fact that we're here together, I'm getting the benefit because I see all of you. I was going to say the good and bad and the ugly, but I'm not going to go there. But I see everybody, And it encourages me that you got up, cleaned up, and showed up. And that your intent was, I want to come, I want to have this fellowship, I want to encourage one another, I want to learn more about God, I want to worship. I suspect that many of you today, as you were having your morning prayer, you may have said something to the effect that God help me as I come together with my brothers and sisters, that I can encourage them and I can worship together with them. Probably you said something similar to that. Ron.
The end of that verse that you've been referring to says, having favor with all the people. So they weren't being obnoxious or hurting the feelings of the other people. They were having favor with all the people, it said.
Yeah, they were. Hopefully, we have an attitude in Christ that says we care about other people just like Christ cares about other people. Now, I know we're pretty good people. Sorta, but we're people. And I think we need to realize or remind ourselves, God so loved the world, that's everybody. That's all inclusive. That leaves no one out, that he sent his only son. We need to look at that every now and then, because even those that could care less about God, God sent his son that they could have salvation. And we need to realize that and do what we can to let them know, even though they may not want to know, but we can let them know in words, in actions, in prayer, whatever we can do. Let's move on to the so what stage. So we see that the Holy Spirit came on the apostles. We see that they preached this gospel sermon and let the people know what God expected them to do so they could be incorporated in God's family, the church. We see it tied back to Old Testament prophecy. We see the response of the people to hearing the good news. Would that be a preacher's dream? You get up and have a sermon and all of a sudden there's people coming in the back, the front. Is that the back or the front? Anyway, whatever those doors are back there, here's him preaching. And he's preaching a good sermon that probably Nancy helped him with. Good preacher's wife that she is. And all of a sudden, people start flooding in. Our ushers back there, they're overwhelmed because there's hundreds of people coming in. The road out there, somebody called the sheriff because there's so many cars, people can't get through. And that housing development across the road there, it's packed with cars. People are abandoning their cars and they're walking up the road and they're pushing each other around to get into this building because they heard this preacher was going to preach the good news to Jesus. And of course, Bob is thinking, I think the collection's going to be a little up this week. I know what Bob's thinking. He's sitting right over there. But the image, people are just fighting themselves to get in here to hear the good news. Now, that's a dream. That's a preacher's dream, right? But that's what was going on here. They were just responding. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. But back to so what? All this happened, so what? Anybody want to jump on the so what train? Jerry's going to get started. We got to move quickly. This train's leaving town.
Well, what I see is so what is if this had not happened, had not the apostles been able to speak to all these people in their own tongues, and the people mystified by that, but they heard the whole thing and they decided to change. They came forward, but they spread the word. And had not this happened, this probably the religion that Christ was died for would have died right there. But they spread it because that was God's plan. They took what they heard. They were totally moved by it. And so they could speak with authority and they went back where they came from and they spread it.
Yeah.
And so it survived.
Yeah, you're getting into the so what and the what if. So what? Well, they learned firsthand the gospel, the good news, and what that would do to them, and they were willing to share it. And the what if they had decided, I don't care about that, and none of this had taken place? Well, I think God would have found another way, but it would be plan B, because the people didn't respond like they should have. And it really does show God's plan for man's salvation. If you were God, Ron's got another comment. If you were God, how would you come up with a plan for all these humans that aren't always doing the right thing? Well, he said, I'll just send my son down there. I'll let my son handle it. If you got a good son, that works. Ron, did you have another thought you wanted to share?
There it is.
Thank you.
I just thought that it wasn't long before God proved that he meant what he said. When Barnabas, I think it was, sold a field and gave the money for that to the apostles and the work that needed to be done. And here comes Ananias and Sapphira, who lied about what they did, and God struck them dead. That's pretty serious business. So don't be lying to me, you know, and don't be changing anything.
I think he covered that many years before. Wasn't there something on that one thing that Moses had, thou shalt not lie, or something? It seemed like I remember that. It's been back a long time. But yeah, the Ten Commandments, the basics of it, talk about the truthfulness, the relationship that God wanted, is exemplified, I think, as we look at these stories of the beginning of the church. I think this shows God's plan, as you were saying, that God had in mind. We saw it did tie it to the prophecies, did it not? This wasn't, maybe we ought to do this now. No, all the way back. It shows here, in my judgment, what did the people do? They were baptized into the Lord. A lot of different opinions about baptism. Not only should you or shouldn't you, but how it ought to be done, to whom it ought to be done, when it ought to be done. And there's probably some other dimensions on that. But as we look at this, they heard the message, and they said, what do we do? And it was just very clear. You need to be baptized so that you can receive the gift of salvation that God has provided for those who want to seek him. Now, that's my paraphrase there, but you get the idea. We see that fellowship of Christians, that's vital. You can be a Christian on a desert island in the middle of nowhere if you want to be. But I think we see an example here that we can be stronger if we have someone to be with us and to walk with us down the road. I'm strengthened by you folks. In fact, you're here. And there's other occasions where we do things together, VBS and other kinds of activities that strengthen us, because I know you're trying to serve the Lord too. I'm encouraged by that. It's the Lord that adds the people. You know, I can't add you. If you would want to be saved today and we baptize you, I can't add you to the church. And Neil can't either. God adds you to his church. It's a God thing. And boy, am I glad. That's a lot of pressure. If he said, Betts, okay, you decide who's in and who's out. Well, what am I going to do? Some would say, well, it depends on, you give me a little money, maybe I can get you in, you know, or I don't know. But God adds those who are responding and being saved to the church. What if, we got about 2 minutes, let me throw some what ifs at you, okay? What if this hadn't happened? Well, I think the church wouldn't have started then. Would it have started later? Would God have come up with another plan? God can do what he wants. And I'm not going to stand in his way. But this was his plan. What if man was lost in his condition? What if that continued? I don't even want to think about that if there had not been that opportunity. What if this hadn't happened? I think Satan would be happy and say, I won this round. It's like a competition, is it not? God and Satan are competing for man. And we can sometimes think Satan may be winning. I know people are a little discouraged now about the kinds of immoral things that are happening in our very country. Even immoral things that kind of go along with the laws that are being passed. And I don't want to get into a discussion of politics here. We haven't got time. But Satan is alive and well. And I am sure that if this hadn't happened, Satan would have been happy again. Christ would have died in vain. Christ's death would have been in vain. And God wouldn't do that to his son. It's amazing that he allowed his son to die for us, but that wasn't going to be in vain. Ray's got a thought.
Oh, just a thought. You know, there's somebody else that might have been there that day, and that's probably Satan himself, because he, you know, he turned, these guys says, they're drunk. No, you know, it must be that they're drunk. And he's there talking to people, and he's doing the so what and the what ifs. You know what I'm saying? He was there taking other people's minds, all of those people that did not respond, and he was taking them into his fold.
Yeah, he's always on the lookout. And I think, and I don't want to speak for Satan, but it seems to me that when you and I that are Christians seeking God's way through Jesus, when we mess up, I think Satan's saying, aha, he went the wrong way or she went the wrong way on that, and boy, I guess I'm score another point for me. And I had a person tell me once, does Satan go to church? Yes, he does. He sits right next to me every Sunday. Now, I'm not saying that's a prophecy, but that's what this woman told me. One last thing about what if this had not happened. Man would continue to be hopeless. I don't know if you've ever felt hopeless. Maybe as a child. Did you ever see a kid get lost in the mall? Crying, looking around, here's all these people in this big building. I mean, I think that's probably a pretty hopeless feeling. They didn't have malls in the old days, so we don't have to worry about that. And I'm looking right over at him. But spiritually, people may seem hopeless if they kind of know enough to know there is a God and I don't know what to do and where do I go from here? I'm hopeless. Well, you're not hopeless because Jesus is there if you will seek to do what Jesus said. Ron, you get the last comment today. Make it a good one. No pressure.
The scripture says that if we believe all this in vain, we are of all men most miserable.
Yes, we are.
So that's...
Yeah. Yeah. We have hope. That hope was sent in the form of a little baby. And again, if I was God, or if I was on that committee, and God says, tell you what we're going to do. How do you like this idea? Let's send this baby down there, because Satan's taken over. So we'll send the baby down there and have the baby born into a very low-class family that are not any means and not powerful, and we'll let that baby grow up. And then that baby, when he's a man, he's going to change the world. I got to say that from a human standpoint, some of you may be thinking, well, that's a pretty interesting plan, but should we look at some other plans? Because sending a baby into this awful world to change the world is not a humanly logical idea. But if John 3:16 didn't happen, what we read about today with the beginning of the church and what you and I are experiencing today as his people would never have happened, because God said, I love the world so much, I'm going to send my son, my only son, that salvation can come through him. What a great thing. We're out of time. Next week, we will move ahead as planned and look into chapter 3. And it's a short chapter, but there's a lot there. So take a look at it. Look at the who, what, so what, and what if. And let's see if we can keep this thing going. Let's have a prayer as we end up. Father, we are truly amazed that you've blessed us, that you've cared for us, and that you care for all mankind. We're thankful for Jesus, for what he has done and what he's doing for us. We're thankful that you have allowed us to be here this morning to study. And as we are about to enter worship, we pray that you will help us to worship you as we should. Give us the blessings we need so we can leave this place stronger in serving you. And we say this and we pray this through Jesus. Amen. Thank you.